Hysteria is brought to you by ZBiotics. What's one small shift I've actually maintained this year? Reclaiming my mornings. I realized a night of fun shouldn't cost me an entire day of productivity. So my shift is planning a balanced night out to ensure a high-quality morning after. I rely on ZBiotics pre-alcohol to support that goal and keep my social life and wellness goals aligned.
ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's a buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for rough days after drinking. Pre-alcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. Just remember to make pre-alcohol your first drink of the night, drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Erin, every time I have pre-alcohol before drinks, I notice that the next day when my alarm goes off, I actually kind of get up. I don't hit snooze 10 times, which is a problem at this age because one wrong snooze and you're waking up at 11 o'clock.
There is no hitting snooze in my life. I must wake up when the child decides that it is time to wake up.
Your human alarm.
Yeah, my human alarm. And usually that's between, on a good day, it's like around 6, 6:10. If she holds on until like 6:30, it is like a real luxurious morning. So I don't really have an option. I can't not have a social life. So on the few times that I do go out and see my friends, I really need to like manage that. And ZBiotics is great for managing the next morning because my little prison guard absolutely does not care. It does not care. Let's be real. Usually a Friday night out means a Saturday morning spent canceling my workout class. But since I started incorporating pre-alcohol, my glass of wine doesn't disrupt my morning flow. Remember to head to ZBiotics.com/hysteria and use the code hysteria at checkout for 15% off.
In moments like these, it's easy to feel overwhelmed and even easier to feel powerless. But we are neither. I'm Stacey Abrams, and on my podcast, Assembly Required, I take on each executive action, legislative battle, and breaking news moment by asking three questions. What's really happening? What can we do about it? And how do we keep going together? This is a space for clarity, strategy, and hope rooted in action, not denial. New episodes of Assembly Required drop Tuesdays. Tune in wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube.
Hello and welcome to Hysteria. I'm Erin Ryan.
And I'm Alyssa Mastromonaco.
Alyssa, in a soft focus interview with NBC News this week, Second Lady Usha Vance was asked if she owns a Make America Great Again hat.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently unprepared for the question, Vance said she, quote, wasn't a hat lady and that she only owned one hat. And then she struggled to remember what hat it was. This was immediately proven false by photographic evidence showing Usha Vance in several different hats. So with hindsight being 2020, Alyssa, what would have been a better lie for Usha Vance to tell in that moment?
I honestly don't know. But here, I have another question. Where did the question come from?
I think that don't was a really good question. I think it's a good question.
It is, but because it's a total swerve. Never would have seen it coming.
Right. That's why it was so good. Because like a good journalist, it's like Katie Couric asking Sarah Palin what magazine she reads.
Oh, totally.
That wouldn't have been a question that she would have been prepped for.
Right.
And like Usha Vance being asked, I mean, because she seems so un-MAGA.
She does seem un-MAGA. I mean, but like what could she have said? My go-to sometimes is that I'm so short, I can't really wear hats because then I can't see people.
Yeah, she could do that. You know, I think that for Hysteria merch, we should make hats that say not a hat lady.
That would be very, I would wear that hat.
I would too. And I would be just as truthful as Usha when I wore it. Today, we're going to talk about Pete Hegseth's bizarre intervention into service members' promotions, our new favorite Disney princess, Lindsey Graham, new congressional efforts to curb lawmakers' involvement in prediction markets, Kristi Noem's husband's giant tits, the ever-widening gender pay gap, and why, despite Republicans' Herculean efforts, abortion numbers are actually going up. Then we take an Architectural Digest-style tour of Trump's absolutely bonkers plan for his ballroom, which was apparently designed in the Sims School of Architecture. And of course, we end with Sandy Petty. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast that is so overfilled with wit and wisdom that Christy Noem's husband can't listen to it without Venmoing us $25,000.
Oh, God, what a week.
Okay, don't worry. We'll talk more about that in the next block, but I just had to get a jab in just off the top. What a week. What a week for stories of men in conservative politics acting fucking embarrassing. Incredible. So speaking of that, TMZ.
Killing it the past couple of months.
Chaotic neutral, I guess, of media. TMZ has unleashed its chaotic neutral on members of Congress and their hypocrisy as they have left TSA agents unpaid for months. I believe they just got paid for the first time this week, but before that, yes, they had been like 6 weeks or something.
Yes, and it's like not even necessarily a full paycheck, and it's going to take weeks and maybe months for them to get their full back pay.
Exactly. So they've been working under ridiculous conditions. They've just been expected to show up to work, and they haven't been getting paid. Meanwhile, Congress has taken itself a little recess, and some of the members of Congress have been caught by TMZ scurrying off to little vacations. I would say the most egregious incident that TMZ caught was warmonger and senator from South Carolina, Lindsey Graham, at Disney World.
Living his best life.
Holding a Little Mermaid bubble wand. I know that that's a Little Mermaid bubble wand because I know you know this about me, but I'm a little bit of an undercover Disney adult.
Yes.
I've been to Disneyland
yes,
a lot. It's close to my house.
You have the easy pass.
It's a great place to dissociate. I'm just going to say that. I love going to Disneyland and just dissociating.
You know that if I lived near you, I would go with you all the time.
It's fun. It's a walkable
city. So fun.
You can just like, I've just like taken a book there and sat on Tom Sawyer's Island before and just like hung out. There's like these picnic tables nobody ever goes to. Anyway, I totally believe that like Disney World and Disneyland are meant to be places for everyone. Everyone can go and have fun. I think they're primarily children's spaces. So if you are interfering with the enjoyment of children in those spaces, that
I don't think
it's like your presence shouldn't be welcome. Everybody should be able to be like, have childlike fun. Lindsey Graham showed up to Disney World in fucking business casual. I'm sorry. If I saw a man, like an old man dressed like that by himself at Disneyland, I would be like, you are ruining the vibe. Get out.
But also, glad we didn't have to see Lindsey Graham in shorts.
That is true, but like he could have at least put on a t-shirt that had Mickey on it or something. You know what I mean?
I mean, if you're going to do it, do it.
That would feel a little less like, excuse me, sir, is there a problem here? You know, like I feel like there's something very weird and creepy about just like an old man who's not married and has no kids at Disney World. He was also found waiting in line for Space Mountain, which is okay. He claims he was in Florida on business and Disney World was just a detour. I'm sorry.
You don't
if you're on business, unless your business is literally in Orlando, you don't like, oh, I'll
right.
just swing
if that's
by.
That's a hard swerve.
Yeah, I'll just swing by Disneyland. It's like ridiculous. He also said that he was there meeting family friends, which
were nowhere to be seen.
Nowhere to be seen in the photos. I mean, none of the family friends were recognizable. And he also said that he was holding the Little Mermaid bubble wand for a child, which I don't know. It's just a very funny photo. He told TMZ when asked about the photos, I voted 7 times to fully fund the government, call a Democrat.
Womp womp.
Other members of Congress who were busted relying on the services of TSA agents that were being deprived of pay in order to access their own respective princess treatment trips include Ted Cruz,
who never lets us down.
Never, ever lets us down. Spotted in Fort Lauderdale, of course.
Just never lets us down.
I mean, at this point, if there were a Ted Cruz action figure, it would come with a little rolling suitcase.
And the picture of the sad dog at the front door, remember?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. That would be like in the background. You know how sometimes in like Dolls, there's like the little cardboard scene around them. There would be like a sad dog in the window of his house. Marsha Blackburn was also caught scurrying through the airport like a little rat. Congressman Robert Garcia was in Vegas, but it turned out his dad lives in Las Vegas.
That seems fair. Visiting your dad.
I don't like 100% say like, okay, well, what he says goes. But like the fact that his dad there is like plausible deniability where I'm like, okay, benefit of the doubt. He also responded to the photo's publication by pointing out that his dad lives there. He was visiting his dad and that he supports what TMZ is doing. He doesn't want to be not at work, But Mike right. Johnson, Speaker of the House, dismissed Congress. And that's why they're all, you know, going to, you know, Disney's World and Land or Fort Lauderdale or whatever.
The Disneys.
Then, yeah. And then Bernie Sanders, I thought this one was a little unfair because he was en route to like No King's Day and various like political, like he was doing political things.
Right.
He was working on his days off, basically.
He was like fighting on behalf of TSA.
He was fighting on behalf of TSA. So I'm like a lot more like, okay, leave Bernie alone. Leave Bernie out of this. He was doing important work. But what are your thoughts, Alyssa, on Lindsey Graham's excuse and presence at Disney World in the first place?
He is the king of excuses. I just think it's so funny. Like, I just think it's so funny having worked in the Senate and in Congress for as many years as I did. It would be like the number one conversation we'd have. It'd be like, listen, you know, great example. Terrible things happen when you work, mass shootings, hurricanes, whatever. President Obama, nay, Senator Obama, was not out at restaurants when anything terrible was happening. Like, you can't find it. Google search. You can't. We'd be like, if the most minor terrible thing was happening, we'd be like, can't you just stay home? And of course, the answer was always yes. So I just think it's like crazy in the world of social media where you can be spotted clearly anywhere that people, I mean, I guess they just don't care what their constituents think, right? Isn't that kind of what it boils down to? Lindsey Graham doesn't care.
Yeah.
He doesn't care.
The audacity right. of Lindsey Graham to think that he could just show up at Disney World in not even a tiniest disguise. He didn't even bother to put on hat lady hat. Like he didn't even bother to like.
He's also very recognizable.
I think the audacity that Lindsey Graham has. He's running for re-election this year, correct?
Yeah, yeah. And he's got like a race.
There is a race, and there's yes. a fairly competitive primary. There are people in the media, like Tucker Carlson and other people kind of in his ilk, that have pretty much put a target on Lindsey Graham mm-hmm. as an example of a Republican that represents a version of the Republican Party that they want to reject and move past. And this warmongering with Iran, showing up to Disney World, Lindsey Graham clearly thinks that he is bulletproof in a political sense. He cannot yes. lose. I just don't understand. Like, if Lindsey Graham was so hungry to go on vacation, that he's so overworked, he just needed some time off, he could have clutched a bubble wand in some of the beautiful towns in South Carolina to draw attention to the fact that people who are in other parts of the country may want to visit there. You know, he could have been mm-hmm. like, listen, I voted to fund the government. I went home to South Carolina. Look at this beautiful place that I'm at. If you are not from here, maybe you want to come and visit and contribute to our economy.
Go golf on Kiowa Island. Like, do yeah. something in your state. I don't know. Also, hold a town hall.
But I'm just saying that there are ways to, like,
he could have decompressed.
To decompress and not actually be working, but then to try to like, there were spinnable things for Lindsey Graham to do. But being at Disney World, waiting in line for Space Mountain, I mean, at least he didn't get like Premier Lightning Lane Pass, which is where you get to like—
That we know of.
That we could, well, because he was in line. So
oh, okay,
like
fair,
certain
fair,
VIPs fair. And like certain, you can buy like certain passes so you can skip the lines.
Yay, wow.
Yeah, it's true. But I mean, at least he was waiting in line like a— Like a plea.
Like a regular. Someone on his staff was like, listen, if you're going to go all the way to fucking Disney World, you at least have to wait in line.
Yeah.
I bet you that was the compromise.
Yeah, maybe.
You have to be a real person. Wait with the real people in line. Well, Erin, speaking of chicken hawks, last week NPR found that Pete Hegseth made a highly unusual intervention to stop several high-ranking service members from getting promoted. Two of the officers were black men and two were women.
Huh, weird. That's
Isn't that
weird?
Sus?
Okay.
It's like, so, An official confirmed to NPR that Hegseth is intentionally targeting senior officers who are not ideologically aligned with him.
Wait, what does ideologically aligned with him mean? Does he mean like melanin-wise?
White men.
Melanin and chromosomally aligned with him?
Okay. I'm guessing—
Alcoholics?
White Christian nationalist-y?
With like deep levels of shame and being extremely not gay in the way that they overcompensate with like hyper-masculinity?
Yes.
Okay.
Cool. Yes.
Double plus ungay.
Democratic Senator Jack Reed told the press that he is looking into the allegations as ranking member of the Senate Armed Services Committee. He said denying the promotions of individual officers based on their race or gender would betray every principle of merit-based service military officers uphold throughout their careers. Pete Hegseth sure has a lot of fucking time on his hands.
Yeah, we're at war.
Like real war. Like he gives these absolutely insane press conferences around 8 a.m. Eastern, like once or twice a week.
Looking puffy, by the way. I know
he look puffy. 8 a.m. is not his time.
Well, he promised. The reason I'm bringing up like his overall puffiness and like, look, I understand puffiness. Some nights I barely get any sleep. I get it.
Right.
But
same.
Pete Hegseth is somebody who had a well-documented drinking problem that spanned years and multiple charities for veterans that he tanked, partly because of his like out of control drinking and partying and spending. And so Now, before he was confirmed to be the Secretary of Defense, I'm calling it by its birth name. I'm not calling
it's Secretary of Defense.
That's just it. You don't get to just change it to like the more butch thing because you're like, I don't feel like a man unless I have my like dick in my hand all the time. Like when he was confirmed, he made a promise that he was not going to drink anymore if he was confirmed. I do not believe, I would, you know what? If someone wants to call me out, I do, but I do not believe that he quit drinking. I do not believe it. And I would say that, like, you know, if you are listening to this or watching this and you have evidence of Pete Hegseth drinking, you should submit it to us, but you should also submit it to TMZ because I think that They're like, they're beefing.
Harvey Levin is on the beat.
He's on the beat. They're beefing. I mean, definitely submit it to us because I just want some like shits and giggles and we'll like talk about it on the show.
You just need to be, your political witchiness needs to be affirmed.
I think that he does not look like a person that has quit drinking. He does not talk like a person that has quit drinking. He does not act like a person who is not actively being blackmailed. He does not, he is acting like someone who has deep guilt and shame about many things in his life that are unseen and seen. And he is overcompensating by trying to like put people down that have done the work that he hasn't done. Put people down that are not done. Yeah, he hasn't done. He did serve. Like it was like a couple tours 20 years ago and he wasn't like important.
Can I say something? This man, so obsessed with meritocracy, he was the weekend host of Fox News. And he is now the second.
Which he got after being booked a lot because he was boinking one of the producers. He was cheating on his wife and boinking one of the producers who was also married. And he got her pregnant, left his second wife, who he had left his first wife for after he got his second wife pregnant.
Right.
He's got like a little daisy chain of mistress impregnations. And like that ended with this producer at Fox. He like slept his way to the middle at Fox. Like he didn't even sleep his way all the way to the top.
And then became SecDef, which by the way, can I just say something? In the government, there are like, you know, abbreviations and acronyms for so many things. The Secretary of Defense has top two abbreviations. SecDef. SecDef is a great acronym.
SecDef is like, cool. It sounds butch.
It's like
if
it's
you're like
SecDef
worried about that, yeah.
And Sec State. Those are the two that are great. And now he's changed it to like Secretary of War. It sounds like a board game. It's like, you know what it is? It's like his version of Battleship.
Yes. It's like an executive who like wants to have their fingerprints on some project and they insist on changing the name to a worse version of the name. Where it's like, all right, I know you want to justify your job at Warner Brothers, but like, this is stupid. You're changing it to a stupid name. I just can't imagine being a woman or black person who was in the military for decades, like decades. This was my life's work, my vocation. Knew my men and women who worked under me. Like, I knew the whole thing front and back. I was like just a career military person. Having this little slut undermine my entire career. It's, oh God. I'm little slut. I mean, Pete Hegseth, he's a slut. I'm sorry.
But here's the other thing. So he goes so far as to make sure these people don't get their promotions. But then did you see the whole Kid Rock thing?
Oh my God.
Okay,
we're doing like helicopter flybys of Kid Rock's tacky ass apartment.
So these Apache helicopters do a flyby, literally hovering around Kid Rock's fucking infinity pool. With a sign, I don't know if you caught this. Kid Rock has a sign on his house that says Southern White House. I'm just saying Mar-a-Lago may beg to differ. But they hover, everyone's outraged. Even Fox News was like, what the fuck is this? And so the pilots that did it were disciplined. Well, Pete Hegseth got involved. They are no longer in trouble.
Good thing we're not at war.
Good thing we're not at war.
He is so silly and so pathetic. Like, I don't think that he has a lot of forethought. I don't think he thinks like, okay, so now what's the next thing that's going to happen? What's the next thing that I'm going to have to do? Or what's the next consequence I'm going to have to face? That is a common way that people with drinking problems think, right? Like, right. Oh, well, tonight's the only night. Like, we'll worry about tomorrow.
We'll deal with tomorrow when tomorrow comes.
But like, I kind of am like, Pete Hegseth is not that much older than me. We would have been in high school at the same time.
And I am much older than Pete Hegseth.
But the thing is, like, I wonder if he has like sat down and played the tape forward where it's like, you know, you ostensibly have decades to live after Trump is no longer with us on this mortal coil.
Yes.
Unless you drink yourself to death first. But you probably will not live as long as Donald Trump. You will probably have decades of life after he is gone. What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Like, do you think you're going to escape whatever debts, like karmic, moral debts and legal debts that you are amassing every single day? Do you think that you're just going to like, you can just like deny people promotions and like cause harm and act fucking foolish and steal and bomb people like you're like bombing in a video game, and you think that that's never going to come back to you or a member of your family? I mean, I'm just saying, like, logically speaking, unleashing that much negativity into the world and pain into the world doesn't just like vanish. You don't just like get away with it.
No, he's not going. There is no rebirth for him after this is all over.
No, there is. I feel like there is eventually going to be a war crimes tribunal with his name on it, even if it's just some kind of, you know, ceremonial thing.
And video from his 8 a.m. press conferences will be the evidence of the crimes, because all he can say is, we're going to bomb them into oblivion. That's all he says.
I mean, another thing is like, he is so, we talked about this in our This Fucking Guy episode about him, but he's so performative. He's such a guy acting like a guy. And it feels so like hollow and inauthentic and fake and strange. And I kind of think if he were a character in like Homeland, every time he came on screen, I'd be like, God, can we just like fast forward through this scene?
Like, I can't.
Yeah, he's too annoying. Like, even the bad guys on Homeland are more compelling and well-written.
Can I say something? If his whole raison d'etre is just being performative and being masculine, like, hey, guy, could he at least match the flag on his tie to the flag on his little pocket square? Because they're not even the same shades of red sometimes. Sometimes it's like more of an amber, and then it's like this, it is so tacky. He's like not even a cartoon character, but I watch these things and I'm like, he looked in the mirror and he thought that was good. And if that's like just the one thing you could get right every day is like, I don't know, but it's really a fashion catastrophe.
Yeah. He's a catastrophe in many ways. We should send the war crime tribunal and the fashion police after Pete Hegseth.
Truly, send Stacey London after him.
What not to war?
That was good.
Thank you. All right, let's talk about prediction markets. Prediction markets like Polymarket and Kalshi, which, like, when I first heard about them, like, years and years ago, I was like, okay, that's strange. They allow users to bet on, yeah, it doesn't sound like a real thing, but no. They allow users to bet on anything from sports games to award shows to geopolitical developments. What could go wrong? This year, people have made thousands of dollars on the platforms benefiting from the U.S. invasion of Venezuela and Trump attacking Iran in very suspicious manners. This has caused people to think that maybe U.S. officials or people that U.S. officials maybe have in their Signal group chat, maybe using confidential information to win big. So like, they're insider trading on reality.
This is so disgusting. Like, the fact that they, and you know that they could be doing it. I mean, there were examples of like people betting on going into Venezuela and getting Maduro, and somehow people got the date right, and invading Iran and killing the, and somehow people got the date right. How is it possible?
And I also was thinking, like, how is it that there are so many people placing bets on these platforms? Like, how many people around me are, like, addicted to gambling? Like, actively addicted to gambling?
100%. I mean, it's shocking to me. Have you ever gambled? Like, not like shitty fun gambling in Vegas, but like you've ever placed a bet like this?
No. I mean, one time I used to really hate the Florida Gators basketball team when I was in my early 20s. They were really good. Like Joakim Noah was playing on the team and everything. I really hated them. And in my office pool, I didn't fill in my bracket, my March Madness bracket. I just wrote, if Florida wins, I will kill myself and turn my bracket in. And they won. And when I came to work the next day, they were like, what are you doing here? You said you were going to kill yourself. And I realized you shouldn't bet hyperbolically. I'm still here. I was able to weasel my way out of that wager that I made. But no, I'm not a gambler at all. And I actually don't really like Las Vegas for that reason. I mean, I like it because there's really good Thai food there randomly. Lotus of Siam, shout out.
Oh my God, I've been there.
It's
delicious. It's like in a strip mall.
It's very good Thai food. If you like Thai food, it's incredible. But I'm not a gambler. And I think there's a part of my, I don't have the part of my brain that wants to gamble. It's not exciting to me. My baseline of anxiety and stress is already so high that introducing more stress and anxiety
not necessary.
Sends me over the edge. But I do think that there is a deep and abiding issue with gambling in this country that is evidenced by how many people are placing bets on these markets, and evidenced by how profitable these bets on current events can be. Like the fact that people can insider trade on reality based on – it's crazy. I mean, at least with like insider trading in companies, you have to be kind of not an idiot. You have to understand what the businesses are and like – how different material information could impact the price of a stock or any kind of security one way or another. With this, it's just like, I think bomb explode. I think bomb not explode. Like, it's a stupid, it's a dumbed down version of it. Well, last week, Alyssa Slotkin introduced legislation that would bar any public official from the president to low-level congressional aides from placing prediction market bets using non-public information they learn in the course of their jobs, with fines up to $500 or double the profit made on the bet for violations. She pointed to the operational risk that the markets can cause, like if you're just hanging out on one of these sites and suddenly you see a bunch of people placing large bets on military action, that's a tell that we're about to take military action. I mean, that's like a Scooby-Doo level plot, because how long until a foreign entity is like, oh, I should just be like really monitoring this.
You know they already are.
They already are. Absolutely. Something that should not have been foiled will be foiled by the insider greed of people placing bets on these websites. Now, there's a stricter version of the law in the House that would restrict members of Congress, their family members, and federal employees from betting on the occurrence of political events. I think that's better.
Yes.
Monitoring family activities is definitely a good idea. Donald Trump Jr. is a paid advisor to Kulchi.
This is disgusting.
I mean, this seems like such a Donald Trump Jr. level plot. Like, he just is like, ooh.
He's like, listen, guys.
Yeah, I got a great scheme, dudes.
I got the best idea.
It's like, if it were in a heist movie, it would just be like a very stupid heist movie. It's like, oh, so that's the heist?
I mean, in Ocean's 11, they just would have given him the wrong information.
Right. Well, it's like if in Ocean's 11, somebody just gave Danny Ocean a key to the safe and he just walked in and was like, oh,
Zoink Scoop, this is crazy.
And they told him how to turn off the camera. He turned off the camera, opened the safe, and just walked out with the stuff. Like, it's no, there's no sophistication. There's no art to this. There's no art to this crime.
There's no art to this. Go steal all the Kit Kats in Europe.
I need criminality to have a barred entry of intelligence above Donald Trump Jr. level. You know, I need there to be a mastermind. Bring back the masterminds, right? This is a Minimind.
He's a cartoon.
He is not a big brained person. I want there to be like, you know, a criminal in a cat suit reading Dostoevsky and being like, well, you know, crime and punishment, whatever. Like I want there to be some sophistication. I want like a long cigarette. I want like genteel laughter and, you know.
I want like a very intense looking computer with things on the screen I could not possibly read. I want people cracking codes, you know?
Yes. I don't want people just like button mashing.
I want aspirational.
The cheat button. Cheat. Yes, cheat. See, look, it's so easy. I could just cheat. On Monday, Kulchi obviously feels a little bit...
They're feeling uncomfortable.
Embattled.
Yes.
They began an advertising blitz, seemingly targeting the legislation in Congress, where they claim that they enforce an insider trading ban and they don't do death markets.
How?
Yeah. What? So trust me, bro. I bet you $5 that Kalshi doesn't really have any good safeguards internally.
I think you're absolutely right, because we could go ahead and I could be insider trading. How are they going to know?
Everybody gets insider information on certain things, especially if you work in an industry that is like public facing. Like, you could place bets on whether something would be greenlit by a studio. You could place bets on who's going to, like, if you worked on like somebody's team, like somebody's representation team, and they got offered like a huge part, you could place a bet. You know, like the battle between Ariana Grande and Lily Collins to play Audrey Hepburn in a biopic.
Oh, yeah. I actually do.
Right. That was pretty fierce. And both of the starlets were, you know, kind of putting on their best Audrey. And if you were somebody on Lily or on Ariana's team, once you knew that it was a yes or a no, you could have just like placed that bet. And
totally.
I mean, free idea, guys. You can hit the cheat button too. and eventually it's going to get so bad that nobody's going to want to gamble on there, unless that is everybody is so hopelessly addicted to gambling that they're like, I don't care that the house always wins. I'm still going to bet, which is how gambling works.
Like,
I guess.
I can't even tell you, years ago, many years ago, when day trading was a thing and we were in the Senate. Someone who worked in the Senate was standing next to me and they were talking about day trading. And I thought they were doing the day trading. I turned around like the day trading police. And I was like, you know, you can't do that, Bob. And they were like, of course I'm not doing that. Like, it's insane to me. They know they can't do it. Like, and they just keep thinking that they're going to get away with the grift. And it has to be stopped. Like, all those people who made the money on when we were going to go into Iran, every single one of those people should be investigated. Mm-hmm. Like, why are we not doing that? Well, I guess because the people in charge of the investigating are the people doing it.
Right. Well, Alyssa, we've learned from the Trump era that rules are weapons if only the people you're against has to follow them.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more hysteria.
Hysteria is brought to you by Nutrafol. Good hair days do more than we give them credit for. When your hair feels healthy, you show up differently. You feel more confident, more relaxed, and you're not constantly checking the mirror. Nutrafol supports hair health from within and delivers results over time, so your hair becomes something you enjoy, not something you stress about. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand, and it's the number one hair growth supplement brand personally used by dermatologists. Nutrafol's hair growth supplements are peer-reviewed, NSF certified for sport and clinically tested. It's not a one-size-fits-all approach. Nutrafol offers multiple formulas for men and women tailored to different life stages like postpartum or menopause and lifestyle factors such as plant-based diet, so you can get support that's actually right for you.
Adding Nutrafol to your daily routine is easy. Order online, no prescription needed, with automated deliveries and free shipping to keep you on track. Plus, with a Nutrafol subscription, you can save up to 20% and get added perks like a free Headspace membership to support your hair health journey. Alyssa,
I love
Headspace. Right before we started recording, I was like, I have to get my hair cut. And you were like, yes, your hair is growing fast. I've been taking Nutrafol. It is growing very fast out of my head, and the only downside is I have to get more frequent haircuts. Let your hair become one less thing taking up space in your head and see thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding in just 3 to 6 months with Nutrafol. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you visit Nutrafol.com and enter promo code HYSTERIA10. That's Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code HYSTERIA10.
Hysteria is brought to you by OneSkin. We've talked before about why OneSkin really stands out as a skincare company. It's not hype or just fancy packaging. It is real science. The founding team are longevity researchers who asked a deceptively simple question. If many visible signs of aging, like wrinkles, fine lines, and loss of elasticity, are driven by so-called zombie cells, what if you could actually reduce those cells to slow the aging process down instead of just covering it up? That research led to OS1, OneSkin's proprietary peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off those damaged senescent cells, actually slowing skin aging directly at the source.
This is serious science that fits easily into my existing routine, and every time I use OneSkin, I'm giving my skin a clear signal to repair damaged cells, support collagen, and strengthen my skin barrier. I'm picturing, like, zombies living... Zombies in my face. Get rid of the face zombies. I just love that the brand actually is rooted in rigorous science and research. When I started using the OS One, my delicate skin became much more hydrated. Mm-hmm. Again, like I've said on the show before, my skin gets angry really easily. I've got very sensitive skin, and OS One is perfect. It never gets mad at OS One, and that's literally like, if a skincare product can't meet that threshold, then I just cannot use it. And so there's so many things that a lot of people rave about that I can't use. But OS One works for me. And look at my skin.
It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous.
Looks good.
If I don't frown, you can see how it's plumped up my 11s.
Well, so don't frown.
I know. I'm looking just very serene today, aren't I?
You are. You are glowing. And this just isn't our experience. OneSkin's products are backed by extensive lab and clinical data, including 4 peer-reviewed clinical studies to validate their efficacy and safety on all skin types. Plus, they've got over 10,000 five-star reviews and have been recently featured by Bloomberg as a leader in skin longevity. It really shows you don't need a complicated routine to achieve healthier, younger-looking skin.
Born from over a decade of longevity research, OneSkin's OS1 peptide is proven to target the visible signs of aging, helping you unlock your healthiest skin now and as you age. For a limited time, try OneSkin with 15% off using our code Hysteria at oneskin.co/hysteria. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code Hysteria. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you.
And welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast for people who find satisfying narrative symmetry in the fact that while Kristi Noem was wasting $200 million in taxpayer money riding a rented horse in front of Mount Rushmore, meanwhile, back at the Noem house, her husband was building his own Grand Tetons. Somebody bust out the Aaron Copland. I want to immerse myself in the expansiveness and promise of the American West for this next story.
Ooh, Appalachian Spring.
Yeah. Beef. It's what's for dinner. On Tuesday, the Daily Mail ran a bombshell story about Mrs. Kristi Noem. Brian mm-hmm. Noem. That's Brian Noem is Kristi Noem's high school boyfriend turned husband. Long story short, Brian has an expensive fetish for what's known as bimboification.
Wow, I had no idea.
Yeah, which is a thing I learned about yesterday. It is people that are turned on by the idea of plastic surgery that is extreme, that emphasizes female secondary sex characteristics, like giant mm-hmm. boobs, giant butts. And he's been sending money and photos of himself bimboified to sex workers online for quite some time.
Yeah.
The Daily Mail piece is busting at the seams with photos of the grandfather wearing tight shirts over what appear to be balloons with the knots all cockeyed to give him the appearance of having overfilled implants. Alyssa, mm-hmm. I have an important question here. Why hasn't—
Oh, no, I am worried.
Okay, why hasn't the skin or grin rule made it to South Dakota? And why, if it hasn't, are we letting people from this backward state have anything to do with our government? Skin or grin is the number one rule of taking pictures of yourself with your phone. That's the number one rule of sexy pictures.
I know. Aaron, this is— I didn't know what to do with this when you sent it to me yesterday.
Yeah. It was a lot.
This is a lot, but do you want to know the first thing I thought about?
Hmm.
Do you remember right before Kristi got fired or reposted, whatever it is that happened to her, and she was before Congress and her husband was sitting right behind her and they asked her about Corey Lewandowski?
Yeah.
And we were like, he didn't flinch. Like he was so stoic. And I don't know why, but I thought about that immediately. I'm like, I guess his head was someplace else and maybe it was in his— Maybe he transported himself to the bimboification world.
Yeah.
When he was sitting there, and that's why it didn't register.
It's like he had a thought bubble coming out of its head.
Yeah.
And in the thought bubble, we're just himself with giant balloons in his shirt and him Venmoing another person with giant boobs some money. Because that was another thing he was doing.
Yes,
He was communicating extensively online with fetish models who were, he was sending them money in exchange for photos. He was also sending them photos and saying things like, just like weird shit. I'm sorry. Like, I don't care what you do if you're a grown up.
No.
Like, everybody, let your freak flag fly. But why?
Enjoy yourself.
Why do I feel like the more I learn about what degenerates people are, hypocritical degenerates
yes.
people are on the right, I feel like I am the most normie vanilla person to ever exist. I feel like a fucking pilgrim compared to these people. Like,
imagine Christy, how I feel.
Christy Noem with her fuck plane. And like her CPAC makeouts with Corey Lewandowski, mm-hmm. I mean, which were reported in several major news outlets.
Yep.
So
yep.
allegedly, but I feel like I just need a sign when I'm talking about her over my head that just says allegedly. But, and then Brian, these photos were verified by the Daily Mail. They were run through a bunch of like, I don't know, AI detection machines, and they seemed authentic. They're authenticated. Noem has said that her family was blindsided by this, but there's been other reporting that she was aware of something. There's been other reporting that she told people that her husband was gay, but in the article, it doesn't really seem like he's gay because he's into the idea of like giant boobs. Like,
right.
When he falls asleep at night, he counts like bra cup sizes. he's really into boobies. And I'm so almost bored with how predictable it is that somebody who is puritanical and, you know, somebody like Christy Noem, who as governor of South Dakota was passing anti-trans legislation left and right, has had so much gender-affirming care done to herself. Her husband is, like, interested and titillated by the idea of him showing the secondary sex characteristics of women. Like, if she were cool, I wouldn't fucking care. But, like, her entire life has been to enforce rules that she can't even follow herself, that her husband can't follow himself.
Well, and here's the thing. It's not even if she were cool or she were a decent person. It's that she is a public official, and everything that she and her husband, and he knows better, okay? Like this is the stuff of blackmail dreams. You know, that is what is so incredible. There is no way that he is doing this and not thinking, or maybe not, I don't know, Erin, but like either they are absolutely the dumbest people that have ever walked.
They are.
I mean, they're pretty dumb.
Yeah.
I don't think they're this dumb. There is no way. Guess what? If the Daily Mail found it, you know who else had it too? Lots of Russia. I mean, like they think that they're outsmarting everyone. Also, got to be honest, for years I've been seeing his name. I thought his name was Byron. It's like I couldn't win. I'm like, his name is Byron. But yeah. No, it's Brian.
It's Brian.
But they are so cavalier. They are so reckless. And the most, you know, the most upsetting, but they're such hypocrites. Like, they are just such hypocrites for me, not for thee. And, you know, I don't think that, like, he could do this. I don't give a shit. But the fact that it has brought great discomfort to her, I think, is delightful.
Something that should have been disclosed during the vetting process.
Yes.
Look, my husband has this thing. He knows that I'm sleeping with this guy. Or, like, you know, allegedly.
We have a deal.
We have a deal. You know, allegedly. But there have been other political appointments that have been derailed by non-traditional arrangements within a couple's marriage. There have been people that haven't done anything wrong, aren't doing anything wrong. And Alyssa, I think you and I both know.
We know who we're talking about.
Yeah. Nobody is doing anything wrong. Everyone's a consenting adult. The people involved are not trying to limit other people's freedom when it came to their sexual expression. But that appointment was derailed because people were like, you know what? It's too blackmailable.
It's a bridge too far.
And it's like it's a weakness. It is something right. that can be exploited. And if there's something secret and there's something that you really don't want to be made public, that's something that, say, in Iran, say, Russia, say, some just kind of like freelance mercenary
bad actors,
chaos causer. Yeah, exactly. I mean, there are so many people out there on the dark web who are willing to, like, net compromising stuff, sell it to whoever. They don't have any, you know, they don't really favor anybody. It's like whoever is willing to pay for this can have it. So I just, yeah, Skinner grin, rule one. Rule two, don't be a fucking gender Nazi douche and then expect to not have your hypocrisy thrown back in your face. And yeah, and number three, if you are somebody who is appointing people to high-level government positions, make sure that you do a thorough vetting to, like,
yeah,
figure this out before they're in a position. Because who fucking knows whether this was dangled in front of Noam or
right
anybody else?
No. I mean, 100%. Like Aaron, if you want to just, I'm not even alleging, I'm just theorizing. The $200 million video she did?
Yeah. Yeah.
$200 million.
Did somebody know something?
Did the campaign consultant know who started the company that was formed 5 days before the video and the money was paid? I'm just saying, it is so easy for someone to be like, girl, I've got your fucking number. And people are so power hungry that they'll be like, listen, I'll figure it out. And the web of bad actions continues.
Mm-hmm. I wonder what was going on behind the scenes right before this was released. Because
I can't imagine.
I know they reached out to Brian.
Right.
Right? So, like, he affirmed some things. He denied some other things. He said that he hadn't told these fetish models he was communicating with about his wife's romantic habits. And one of the fetish models who communicated with the Daily Mail said that he had told her that he knew about the affair and couldn't do anything about it.
Right.
He affirmed some things, denied some other things. And but then when the story came out, Kristi Noem was like, we're devastated.
Please give my family privacy at this time.
But it's like, okay, you had to know this was coming. Like, if Brian was made aware of it and asked for comment, either he gave a comment and was like, uh-oh, Kristi, I did it, uh-oh. Or he didn't tell her, which both things are like,
right.
I don't know.
But here's my thing. Do you see the other day Caroline Leavitt was doing a prayer circle in lower press office?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the Daily Mail had just called.
That is a hard possibility. That is definitely a possibility. One final question on this.
Yes.
This Brian Noem thing.
Or Byron, as I like to call him.
Byron. No.
Byron.
Imagine if you found this out about one of your coworkers' husbands. Mm-hmm. How mm-hmm. would you, what's the first, like, what would you say the next time you were with him, like in a social situation, if you found out?
Oh,
that
him? I'd never like see him again.
Well, like a friend's husband. Like, let's say you had a friend's husband, a friend who's like moderately famous or moderately powerful. And it comes out that the husband is really into, like, I don't know, like, yeah, putting giant fake boobies in their shirt. And sending pictures to fetish models, whatever. Something very embarrassing.
Got it.
Something very embarrassing, but not like causing harm, right?
Right.
What would you say? Like, what would you say if you had to socialize with that person again?
Well, I guess if they were like a nice person, like if it's not Brian, right? Say this person is like nice and didn't really do anything to anybody and like they just kind of got busted. I'd be—
Busted? Pun intended?
Ba-dum-bum. I think if I'm being honest, I would probably avoid interaction at all costs because I wouldn't know what to say.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say?
Depends on how funny they are. Like,
okay.
If they're a really funny
right. if they're
person.
Good, if they're good humored.
And be like, must be
there's a little room.
Nice relaxing week for you, huh? You know, like,
yeah,
we could
okay.
laugh it off and then move on or whatever. But like, if they're not funny or if I was worried about them, I honestly, this is bad, but I would probably just like avoid interacting.
Yeah.
Or
well,
I mean
if they're like
about,
not your friend.
Talk about
you know,
anything
like,
but that. Be like, okay, what is the latest? I don't know. Is there some kind of summer house scandal going on? Can you explain it? Like, you know.
Imagine you being this person and someone like you or I goes up to them and is like, it's crazy weather we're having, huh? Hail. Like you would just be waiting. Like you would just be waiting for the other shoe to drop the entire time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it would hang over your head as though you thought
right.
that everyone was thinking at.
And they are.
Whenever they saw you. And
they are.
And that's a fun thing for Kristi Noem to have to live with. I mean, I know that we were like, we wish her the worst because she does deserve the worst.
She's a terrible person.
She's an evil cunt. She mm-hmm. deserves to, for the rest of her life, have people look at her and be like, you're the husband with the crooked nipple boobies.
Well, for her, that and the blanket that she got the pilot fired over.
I think
plain
blanky, but I think like your husband takes pictures of himself dressed up like a busty lady
and
sends
everyone
them
saw
to
it.
Fetish models and then pays the fetish models and everybody has seen it and they're thinking about that when they look at you.
That's it. That's all they see.
That's a pretty good punishment for her.
That's all we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, that's that's one in what should be a real domino of punishments that mm-hmm. just like slowly tip over the course of the rest of her wretched life because she's a fucking monster. Anyway.
What second act could she ever have? Oh, wait, she still has a job. How long do you think that'll last?
Shield
Remember,
of the
she
Americas?
Got reassigned to something stupid.
Yeah, it's like Shield of the Americas, which is a made-up
yeah.
thing.
Mm.
I feel like her next job, she doesn't have the riz to be on, like, TV.
TV, no.
Her face can't move. Like,
no.
it just, she can't. She can't
She's
be
also not quick-witted.
No, she seems very dull mm-hmm. And so, like, and paralyzed. But I don't know. I think that she could maybe be a spokesperson for, like, catheter bags on Fox News.
I was going to say.
I'm Christy Noem.
Myriad Fox News commercials.
Yeah, yeah. She could sell medical equipment on late yep. night Fox News broadcasts, I think.
The chair that goes up the stairs.
Yeah, yeah. I think she could definitely sell that. All right, one more story. Women still make 81 cents for every dollar a man makes, right?
Yep, down from 83 a couple years ago.
Wow, great. Mm. You've come a long way, baby. Women don't make the same that men make. And you know what is something you definitely don't want to do if you know you're not being paid as much as a man makes and you know that making this decision would cause you to be paid even less?
Tell me.
Have a baby. You
yep.
definitely don't want to have a baby. If you
nope.
are feeling economically vulnerable in any way, shape, or form, you're not like, I ain't have a fucking baby. That'll solve it. Like, this is not a struggling sitcom in the 90s. Having a baby is not going to solve anything. It's just going to make
no.
your life worse and more complicated. And, you know, because of that, I'm not really surprised by this next story. Despite total and partial abortion bans across the country, according to the Guttmacher Institute, the number of people having abortions has increased.
Yes, it has.
It has increased slightly.
Ticked
it's,
up.
It's very, very slight from 1.124 million to 1.126 million from year over year. But this doesn't include data from abortions that are self-managed, which is an increasing number of them, especially in places with draconian abortion laws. So the actual number of abortions in this country, safe to assume, is probably higher. Now, we
yeah,
don't know
for sure.
to what degree it is higher because we don't know who self-manages abortions. Well played, Republicans. Well played. Pro-life Republicans, you did it. You fucking monsters. A large number of these abortions are in part due to the significant rise in telehealth appointments. You can, if you are in need of abortion care and if you catch your pregnancy early enough, you can use telehealth to have pills sent to you. And there's really nothing lawmakers can do about it. That doesn't stop them from trying. The number of people who are flying out of state for abortions is decreasing due to how expensive that is. But thanks to telehealth and the ability to receive pills by mail, it's kind of a non-starter. Like, even if you catch a pregnancy at an early enough stage and there aren't compounding complications, you will probably be able to manage it via pills that you get in the mail. Now, Shield laws have been a key factor in ensuring that patients can continue to have access to abortion care, even in states with bans. And then this has caused some Texas lawmakers to angrily throw their hats down in the dirt and say, God darn it. A reminder, Shield laws are state legal protections to keep providers of reproductive health services from being subject to out-of-state legal actions.
Right.
And these laws are being fought in courts. So for now, a provider in, say, California that some, you know, podunk mouth breather in in Indiana wants to extradite doesn't really have to do anything. They can say, like, nana, nana, boo, boo. Like, I'm not—
Kick rocks.
Okay, yeah, pound sand. I'm not coming.
Right.
But if Shield laws are deemed unconstitutional or overturned by an activist court system, perhaps, this would expose people to legal actions. Now, Texas has already brought civil actions against doctors in New York and California. They are hoping that eventually they can kind of brute force their way through these Shield laws, but, you know, TBD, we'll see. One thing I will say is that abortion bans have never been a long-term way to prevent women from accessing abortion care. Like, there might be a year or two where people are recalibrating and being like, okay, now here's the new legal reality. This is illegal. This I can't access. Now, what's my way around this? Like, if you don't want to be pregnant, the desire to not be pregnant is like primal. You very
I'm
much
sure.
do not want to be like, animals chew their leg off if they're caught in a trap and they can't right. get out. Like, if you are pregnant and don't want to be pregnant,
you'll figure it out.
You will figure it out. And right. and I don't want to minimize the impact of abortion bans.
No, of course not.
Because I don't think women should have to do the equivalent of chewing their own leg off if they don't want to have a child that they can't care for right. or don't want to care for. If they don't want to go through pregnancy, if it's dangerous for them to go through pregnancy, I don't want women to have to do that. I'm just pointing out the futility of these laws and regulations in actually, quote unquote, saving babies or increasing the birth rate. Like, that, it doesn't work. It's never worked. You have to make motherhood more appealing or parenthood less punitive. That's the only way. You can't take away options because people have been terminating pregnancies for as long as people have been getting pregnant.
Yep.
Back in the day, it was a little blue pill. There's like little jazz songs about this. It's called Blue Cohosh. They would make a pill
yes.
derived from Blue Cohosh. And there's like jazz songs about like taking a little blue pill. And that was what abortions were.
Back in like the 1800s, there would be advertisements for Blue Cohosh that said, make sure you don't take this if you're pregnant, because it was like a whole wink, wink, nod, nod mm-hmm. of like telling women that that's how they could take care of it.
Right. See, that's great. That's advertising. We need more of that clever advertising. So anyway, great job, pro-lifers. The abortion rate has increased once again. The birth rate is not increasing. You are failing on every possible front. But yeah, keep trying what doesn't work, and maybe it'll work this time.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we have a VIP tour of a nonsensical MC Escher-esque building. Stick around. Hysteria is brought to you by IntoCloud. Staying informed is important, but staying overwhelmed was never the assignment, which is exactly why people are becoming more intentional about how they unwind. IntoCloud is designed to help. IntoCloud is a fully legal online cannabis dispensary for gummies, exotic flower, premium pre-rolls, and zero sugar THC sodas. Everything is federally legal hemp THC, lab tested and shipped discreetly to your door. And with 420 right around the corner, new customers get 40% off all month long with IntoCloud's biggest sale of the year.
Most nights lately look the same. You check the news, scroll a little longer than you meant to, then suddenly your brain is still running at midnight. One IntoCloud soda later, everything slows down just enough. Still clear, still present, just not carrying the entire internet in your head. Sleep gummies for nights when your brain refuses to clock out. Zero sugar THC sodas for social plans without alcohol. Premium pre-rolls for intentional evening wind downs. And $70 ounces for consistency that actually makes sense. The world might stay loud, your evening does not have to. If you're 21 or older and a new customer, go to IntoCloud.co, that's .co, not .com, and use code Hysteria for 40% off your first order. That's IntoCloud.co, code Hysteria for 40% off all month long, shipped discreetly to your door, plus free shipping on orders over $50, and $30 in free gifts on qualifying orders. And don't forget to fill out the quick survey when you order to support the show. As always, please enjoy responsibly, and thanks to IntoCloud for supporting a calmer 420.
Hysteria is brought to you by Brodo. What if your go-to cozy drink wasn't tea or hot chocolate, but a clean, collagen-rich bone broth made by an award-winning chef? This podcast is sponsored by Brodo. Welcome to the hottest trend in nutrition for the last 2,000 years, bone broth. Brodo's bone broths are made from scratch, no concentrates, preservatives, or shortcuts, so you get the best broth money can buy.
Brodo makes bone broths that are delicious enough to drink. Each cup delivers whole food protein, about 10 grams per serving, along with collagen-building amino acids, electrolytes, and nutrients to support gut health, immunity, joints, skin, and general wellness, all under 50 calories and with zero sugar or fat. You guys have to try this. It truly tastes amazing. It's the savory version of having an afternoon treat to get you through the day. Brodo was launched by award-winning chef Marco Canora. He started selling Brodo out of the side door of his East Village Manhattan restaurant 11 years ago, where I originally first got my Brodo. And now—
Oh, look at you, yeah, you Brodo
I'm
hipster.
I'm OG. And now, whether you want a quick warm drink or a nourishing base for cooking, Brodo makes it easy. They ship nationwide, so you don't have to be in New York City to enjoy Chef Marco's masterpiece.
Alyssa, the other day, mm-hmm. I ran out of my Brodo box, and I'm waiting for my next one. And so I was like, I need a stopgap bone broth.
And you disappointing. Know, like,
just, Yes.
I know.
Brota was so much better than all of them. It was like shocking because I've been having Brota for so long and I forgot how much better it is.
Some are just too much. Some are too salty. Some are just like they're not delicious. I love the one with rosemary and lemon.
Ooh, that one's good. I really like the one that's like, it's called the spicy no-no.
Oh, the chili one that has a little chili in it. I love that one too.
Yeah. It's really good. It comes in 8 delicious flavors, from classic chicken to the spicy nona I just mentioned, to more creative blends like ginger turmeric, herb-infused, or veggie-based broths. I recommend trying their sampler pack so you can figure out for yourself what flavor is best for you. Honestly, all of them
are good. None are bad. None are bad.
Shop the best broth on the planet with Brota. Head to brota.com/hysteria for 20% off your first subscription order and use code hysteria for an additional $10 off. Once again, that's brota.com/hysteria for 20% off your first subscription order and an additional $10 off if you use my promo code hysteria. Welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast that actually does love limes, both as food and decor.
Decor, yes.
That's an Architectural Digest deep cut. That's Dakota Johnson, right?
Dakota Johnson. Yeah.
She's, you know what? She's a star. I love
her. She's funny.
I love her in everything.
She's got like a good sense of humor.
She really does. Here's something that won't have limes splayed out around it. That is the White House's new ballroom, which on Tuesday was ordered to be halted by a judge. It turns out, the president's house is not the White House. The president doesn't own the White House.
He's just a renter, not an owner.
Yeah, and he can't like tear it down and build a new house just the same way as if you like rented an Airbnb, you can't like raise the garage.
No, that's not
one of your rights. But, you know, that hasn't stopped Donald Trump from making these absolutely ridiculous plans. And Alyssa, you and I really wanted to walk through them in the style of our favorite soothing content maker around architecture.
Use our soft voices.
Yeah. There's nothing like sitting and folding your laundry and flipping through the pages of aspirational but unattainable style, like Lenny Kravitz's Parisian Refuge. Sienna Miller's cozy Cotswolds cottage aesthetic.
Just the other day, I was taking a video tour of Kylie Jenner's cozy mountain house. Who knew grandma chic style and vintage charm could cost so much?
Speaking of things that cost a lot, well, first, there's President Trump's war in Iran, costing American taxpayers about $11.3 billion a day. That's a story for another day. Not very aesthetic, though, either. Generally not very aesthetic. Trump's White House ballroom renovation project, however, is all aesthetics and no engineering. Or it's supposed to be, at least. It was estimated to cost $250 million, which has somehow doubled to $400 million. I think because Donald Trump, in his big butt, just stores numbers and pulls them out at random.
Yeah, it's all fake.
And it all gets fucking stupider by the minute. It's just stupid and it's fake. And he says it's being paid for privately, but we'll believe it when we see it. The money, that is.
Aaron, we saw Trump on Air Force One the other day, clutching a rendering of his little project and doing a show and tell like I haven't seen since elementary school. And let's be honest, this project is much more Robin Leach's Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous than Arc Digest, but let's give it the AD treatment all the same. First, let's talk process.
So perhaps the most fun news related to this little architectural fiasco came earlier this week when, as I mentioned, a federal judge appointed by President George W. Bush, oh, so clearly a socialist, right? Ordered construction of President Trump's White House ballroom halted, saying all work must stop, quote, unless and until Congress blesses the project. It's worth noting the judge punctuated his opinion with 19 exclamation points.
19.
Per the New York Times, this is a preliminary injunction barring further construction while litigation continues. He said in the ruling that he believed that the plaintiffs will win on the merits. So basically, right, he's like, yeah, you're probably going to lose. So I'm going to stop this right now,
right,
Mr. President. So for now, we're left with Trump's junkyard of broken dreams on the White House lawn. Do you have any old, do you think maybe there's some old cars he could park on there? Like his Tesla
probably
that he can't drive?
That red Tesla is still there somewhere.
Yeah, he should park it on the lawn.
Now, Aaron, why would a judge need to intervene here? Well, to make a long story extremely short, this is not actually Trump's house, as you mentioned. He doesn't own it. He's an occupant, and as such, even though he claims he's paying for it, he can't do just whatever he wants to the building. This was done on a timeline faster than building a proper chicken coop in your own backyard. Change of this magnitude would normally be carefully considered. Think months and years, not days and weeks. And this would be considered by the National Capital Planning Commission and the Commission of Fine Arts. The Commission of Fine Arts, which is stacked with Trump appointees, approved the plans after one 12-minute meeting. Mm-hmm. Like I said, chicken coop. Mm-hmm. The National Capital Planning Commission has received over 30,000 public comments so far on the project, but Trump just got a backhoe and he went for it.
Cool.
Now, let us not forget one other small part of the story, and a very disturbing one, and that's that there's some sort of large underground military bunker also being built, which he's openly talking about.
But he shouldn't. Why is he talking about that?
Don't know. But like having personally overseen classified military projects, this is not something you shout about on camera. Now, this little nugget is important for me because no one's talking about this. He said the new ballroom essentially serves as a shed for what's being built underneath. So, Aaron, who's paying for what? Where does the cost of the ballroom and the military bomb shelter begin?
Yeah, I don't want Facebook/Meta to be paying for a military installation. You know what I mean? Like,
no. But I'm going to guess, Aaron, when this is all said and done, taxpayers are footing more than their share of the bill.
Okay, well, let's get into some of the stupidest, most nonsensical, confusing, and unnecessary features that clearly need a commission's oversight. Alyssa, looking at the New York Times has a really good breakdown of this.
Yes.
And looking at the chart, at the little, like, plans, the plans that the president himself has, like, has shared. It reminded me of when I used to play The Sims when I was, like, in high school. And there was, like, this cheat you can do and you hit Rosebud, like, Rosebud semicolon, 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 and it would just, like, add $1,000 to your budget. So you basically could operate with infinite money and use all the most expensive things and build just really, really silly houses. Like,
right.
You could build, like, a tiny swimming pool with no way out and then just drown people in it if you wanted to. Or you could do like a tiny, like you could just do like a downstairs that wasn't enclosed with walls and steps that go up. Like you could make multiple stories. You could just build weird
anything. Weird
shit. Things that didn't make sense. You could build like a field of columns that would trap people. People would get stuck in there and then the Sims would start crying and then pee their pants and then pass out because that's what happens when they would get upset. This to me was very Sims core. Like I could hear the soothing piano music that plays as you're building in the game. So I want to get into a little history that really like drives home how like Simsian this is. Do you know why George Washington conceived of the White House as smaller than the Capitol?
Mm-mm.
Congress represents the people, and making the White House smaller than the Capitol building was meant to be an expression of democracy.
Wow.
Yeah. So it tracks. I know. So it tracks that Trump has designed the new proposed East Wing to be three times as large in cubic feet as the White House complex, making the place where he dreams of yelling, "Let them eat cake," the dominant building on the White House complex. Now let's talk about the rendering a little bit more.
Okay. So first, Aaron, I need your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about these fucking heinous Corinthian columns. There are 24 of them. All of which will block the view and daylight from inside.
It is like a garden of Corinthian columns.
Yes, it's like exactly what you were talking about.
Placed directly in front of the windows. Like we are going to see Kellyanne Conway peeing her pants and crying in that garden of columns if it's actually put up. There are going to be people who get lost in there.
Yes. So many columns.
So many columns. And it blocks the light into this giant, like ridiculously tall. The windows are somehow supposed to be super tall, but they will
be blocked. It's like 40 feet high.
So the columns will essentially function the same way that like vertical shades.
Yes, that's a great example. Yes.
That's so dumb. And they're Corinthian columns.
And expensive.
But Corinthian columns, why not Ionic? Why not?
I don't know.
Okay.
Because he heard the word Corinthian 30 years ago,
okay.
And we're going to pay the price.
That's true. He probably did hear that word 30 years ago. Okay, so the South Portico, this entire huge side of the building, wasn't included in the original plan.
Nope.
It's just like a thing that they're just like, oh, we'll just add this. It's
totally unnecessary.
Just a fun little addition. It doesn't do anything.
Nope.
It's just giant and ornamental. It doesn't do anything, much like Melania Trump. just ornamental.
And now the ornamental south portico is the reason. So this thing that doesn't need to exist for any reason is now the reason the formerly symmetrical driveway from famed architect Frederick Law Olmsted needs to be rerouted. Again, just pointing out, when Trump says he's paying for the ballroom, it's all going to be paid for, does that include the landscaping mess this is making too?
I mean, they could just pave it over like they did the Rose Garden and make another, make a little, you know, Panera Bread dining area where people
can. So depressing.
Yeah. People can do like job interviews from there or whatever. Ugh. Okay. My personal favorite is there's a second floor colonnade connecting the proposed east wing to the executive residence, which was designed with a wall of masonry niches designed to look like windows, but they're not.
Windows.
They're like statues of windows. Mm-hmm. Behind the fake windows are a row of bathroom stalls. And that's going to be the view most tourists get of the White House. Alyssa, I have a
fake
funny
windows.
Anecdote.
Tell me.
I was studying in Athens, Greece in 2004 in the run-up to the Olympics in Athens. And here's something about people, Greek people in Greece, is they don't like working. Like,
yeah.
In the sense that the way that Americans work, they do not, they're just like, no, enforced siesta from like 3 to 5 p.m. And if you make noise, God help you if you make noise in your apartment
don't
building.
Do it.
Those things are entirely made of marble. Your upstairs neighbor will get mad at you and come down and yell at you. You only have to have that happen once before you're like, this is quiet time. Mm-hmm. So they're very, very protective of work-life balance, which is probably a lot more life than work. So that being said, when I was there, it was like April, and they hadn't even really broken ground on a lot of things that they were supposed to break ground on, and the Olympics were coming up in August.
Right.
They had all of these plans for, like, there's this kind of like spiral road that goes from Montserrat, which is like the neighborhood at the foot, or Plaka, which is the neighborhood at the foot of the Parthenon, with like the Parthenon itself. And along the road, there are all these beautiful buildings, and they were going to restore them as part of the run up to the Olympics. Well, they ran out of time. They were not able to do it. What they did instead was they put up a picture of what the buildings would have looked like had they been restored. Like a,
that's
like
hilarious.
A painting. They held it and they hung it in front of the buildings. And so, like, in establishing shots of the Olympics, there would be like quick pans over this like beautiful, this very scenic stretch. And if you didn't know to look for it, you wouldn't know. But if you looked, you'd be like, that's a picture. That's a picture
no
of
shit,
a building.
That's hilarious.
Hanging in front of the buildings. And I feel like the fake windows in front of the bathroom is like the sort of thing where it's like, look at these glorious stone filled in windows. What a sight
so
for you tourists. Like, ridiculous. No, things have changed in the White House complex over the years. Of course, you know. Whatever.
Right.
Of course they have. Like, I think in the 1940s, they did a whole, like, gut rehab to bring it up to date and everything. But it's never been like this. It's never been done with such architectural illiteracy, with such engineering illiteracy, with such a lack of taste. It just feels like somebody just was like, I don't know, like, AI generate it, and it is a nonsensical
It's
building.
Like he took a marker, his blessed black Sharpie, and drew what he wanted and has kept the Sharpie. It's like the South Portico was like when he changed the direction that storm was coming with the Sharpie because he just decided that that wasn't going
to
happen.
He wanted to be correct about a warning he'd issued incorrectly. Yeah.
And that's just what this is. Now, Aaron, I have one last little bugaboo about this project because I'm obsessed with the money. But Trump keeps bloviating about how foreign leaders are going to come in his very stupid, dumb new space with the high ceilings. And we can only assume he's talking about state dinners, but he doesn't use his words. So I'm just going to extrapolate. And he talks about how the seating for this is going to be 1,000 people seated for dinner. Some people who reviewed the plan say it could be upwards of 1,500. So just like a little context. Mm-hmm. 2009, President Obama hosted Prime Minister Modi from India for our first state dinner. That was around 400 people. It cost the State Department, which is who pays for state dinners, which means taxpayers, over $500,000. few years later, we hosted Germany's Chancellor Angela Merkel, 206 guests, about 215,000. So doing some rough math and using $2010, it's about $1,400 a guest. So that puts events in this gaudy, bloated space at about $1.4 million per event. And the reason I price them out at near max, or what Trump is saying is the max capacity, is because when people attend a state dinner, Erin, they want to feel special. Mm-hmm. Cattle call state dinners are not special. 1,000 people is not going to make someone feel special. Mm-hmm. And so when you have this 40-foot ceiling and this expansive space, you're not going to be able to shrink it, right? So if you're doing 200 people in the space, you're going to feel like you're at Carrie Bradshaw's 35th birthday party at Il Cantinori. It's going to feel so empty. You're going to walk out. You're going to pay for your own birthday cake. You're going to walk home feeling lonely and sad. And I just, this, we will see. It will take years, but we will see how much this ends up costing the American taxpayer.
I'm just going to play this forward. What if,
please,
what if
please.
This gets permanently blocked and Congress does not want to risk giving Donald Trump his like birthday wish this year? They don't want to authorize it. 2026 elections happen. Democrats take control. Like, what? There is no.
I don't
like,
know.
If he doesn't.
I mean, they're just going to keep it demoed.
I mean, if he doesn't thread the needle before like swearing in day on 2027, mm-hmm. if like, God help us that actually happens. If he doesn't get that approved before then, he probably is. It's not ever going to happen for him. So it's like, yeah, because in 2020 it's happening. He's not. It's done. The opportunity is gone.
Right.
So what happens to that?
Well, here's the problem, is that he did all this under the guise that he was getting it paid for privately. And so now if he doesn't, first of all, where does all that money go? First of all, like people, I don't know if people have committed dollars or if he has actual checks that have been cashed.
Right. Is there an account that holds the money or is it just commitments?
Like, yeah. Is there some shit in escrow? Like, we don't know. But that's the whole point. We know nothing about this. And so if he doesn't get his way, if this doesn't move forward, he can just like say, well, the money's gone. Don't know where the money went. Money's gone. And then, you know, the American taxpayers, and let's be clear, he keeps saying $250 million, now it's $400 million. The total price tag is probably going to be north of $400 million. And if it's not done, then I guess that's something that we end up paying for to put the East Wing back up on the back together.
Construction is such a grift. Oh my God.
And he's the king of grift.
He's the king of grift. Oh my God. All right. Well,
yeah.
What a beautiful tour. I love all of it. I think like another thing we didn't really get into, like the impossibly sized windows, like how are they going to make glass? That glass.
100, totally.
Like how can glass that hard? Like can it really
It's
can you
pretty
make
a, it's pretty expensive. It has to be braced in a very, very specific way, usually with like steel.
Yeah. I mean, he's really building himself his little, you know, Berlin
bunker.
It's his
Sims castle.
He's building his Berlin bunker, I think. I can't believe that someone so tacky is actually trying to go through with this. And it feels like it is the only thing he really cares about. He's so much more enthusiastic about this than he is about anything else.
He's carrying renderings on the plane with him. Like, it's all he's doing. That, yeah. Also for a president who's at war on a couple fronts, actually, mm-hmm. it's, like, pretty incredible that he's spending all this time on this, on his ballroom. Mm-hmm. And also, as we record today, just spending all day sitting at the Supreme Court, listening to oral arguments.
Like a weirdo.
Like a creepy stalker.
So, that is weirdo behavior. That is like, he's a fucking weirdo. And I think that it's also like gangster behavior.
Totally.
Like he's trying to show up.
It's like going and stare him down.
But also like, I'm sorry, John Roberts is such a preening, self-absorbed, vain prick that I don't think he would take kindly to Trump being in there like, What?
Definitely not. He'll be like, don't you dare.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't see how that goes well for him because it's like, what are you going to do? But anyway, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Sandy Petty.
In moments like these, it's easy to feel overwhelmed and even easier to feel powerless. But we are neither. I'm Stacey Abrams, and on my podcast, Assembly Required, I take on each executive action, legislative battle, and breaking news moment by asking three questions. What's really happening? What can we do about it? And how do we keep going together? This is a space for clarity, strategy, and hope rooted in action, not denial. New episodes of Assembly Required drop Tuesdays. Tune in wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube.
And welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast that gives you news combined with things that don't really matter but make you feel good anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
Christy Noem's husband's boobies.
Stop with
I'm sorry.
Boobies.
It's so funny. It is such a funny story. When I first saw it, I thought it was like
April Fool's.
I thought it was a really like an April Fool's joke that was going to fill me with hope. Like, wouldn't this be hilarious if this was a humiliation that was facing Christy Noem's family? There's a real ugly part of me that's like, I am erupting Schadenfreude from my pores. I just love the story. I hope it never ends. I hope there's more. I also heard that one of the people that exposed him was apparently somebody who was not an American, like a born and raised American citizen. So there was there's like an immigration component to it as well.
Wow.
Anyway, love that for you, Christy. Before we get to Sandy Petty, some announcements for the class. This year, Vote Save America is zeroing in on the races that will decide the midterms and whether Trump holds on to his Republican trifecta.
Vote Save America has takes and tips on where to donate so your money goes the furthest, how to confidently talk to people in your life about the midterms and key issues, and opportunities to take action in your community in real life.
Sign up at VoteSaveAmerica.com to make sure you're up to date with the latest. Then send the sign-up link to 5 friends. Paid for by Vote Save America. Learn more at VoteSaveAmerica.com. This ad has not been authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. Now let's get to Sandy Petty. Alyssa, I've got two things.
Okay, go. Good. Because I'm Sandy Petty light this week.
Okay. Well, one is kind of like combination Sandy and Petty. CPAC was last weekend. It was like a shit show. Like, there was so much infighting, so many people who don't seem to know, like, where the party is going next. CPAC has been, especially since the Trump era, a real, like, star fucker moment. And in an era of, like, very oversized, outsized power to influencers in the conservative movement, the star fucking has become, like, this weird, like, competitive star fucking and star sniping. And watching it unfold over social media, I didn't really read too much about it because there's a lot of, like, saber rattling on stage, has been just beautiful. Like, I love that Kat Kamick, who is a congressperson from Florida, did this, like, dumb little dance on stage, and everybody thought she was the comedian Drewski dressed in Erica Kirk drag. Yeah, I feel like Drewski single-handedly made it so, like, a lot of – Kat Kamick is going to have to change her hairstyle because people are going to think she's Drewski. And I'm not – it's not just me. Read any comment section. It's not just me. There was also there was a, like, trad – husband manosphere, like, gadfly type guy who a few months ago his wife left him because it turned out he was cheating on his wife with this other, like, trad cath influencer who was married to somebody else. He was just like a cheater and a mess. It was a very messy situation. The only reason I cared was because he was a hypocrite. But there was another right-wing influencer who was following him around with a camera, like, heckling him for being a cheater. Which I'm just like, you know what? If you're going to be puritanical about, like, you know, traditional values, I think you absolutely should be heckling.
Yeah,
heckling
absolutely.
Cheaters, whatever. Anyway, very funny stuff. So that was my Sandy and my Petty. I also have, like, a genuine Sandy. Mm-hmm. Alyssa, I think I've talked to you about this case out of Arizona that has fascinated me for years. And this was, like, in 2023, Clayton, who had been the bachelor, was accused of fathering this woman's twin pregnancies. And I immediately started following the story because the story sounded weird. Now, over the next, like, several years, including, like, my entire pregnancy with my younger daughter, there was this ongoing drama around this alleged pregnancy and whether or not it really happened and who this person was and whether it had happened before. There is now a podcast about this. There's a podcast about it, and it is really good, Alyssa.
Ooh!
It is really, really good. It's called Love Trapped. I think there's like 6 episodes and a few bonuses out. And it's really, really well done. It's well narrated. There's deposition. You know I love a deposition. There's like clips from messy depositions. There's interviews with like lawyers and other people involved in the story. There's like clips from like body cam footage. It is so interesting. And I don't even want to give away too much because it's like, it is like the mother of all scammer stories. It is so, so good. And like, I know a lot of the elements of the story already because I've been like armchair following along for years.
Yeah, I mean, you really have.
Yeah. And like every time there's a new development, it just gets crazier and crazier and crazier. And the podcast is really, really good. It's called Love Trapped. I am not being paid to say this. It's just like, I went through all 6 episodes in the course of like 2 days. I was like finding excuses to go away from my family so I could listen to this podcast. Like,
oh my God, I'm going to start it in the car.
It's really good. And listeners, if you're not, even if you are familiar with the story, I don't want to give away too much because I want to preserve people's ability to encounter it fairly.
Enjoy it.
Fairly new. Even if you are familiar like me, it's still like such a delicious listen. And I think that the narrator, the journalist, the writer who does the piece, I'm forgetting her name now. It's Stephanie Williams, I think. Stephanie something. I'll have to look that up. The journalist who did it did a great job. Like, she's very even-handed and she's fair, and also it's fun, and highly recommend. Love Trapped.
Ooh. Okay, good.
You gotta listen.
You know, I'm always looking for things that aren't news.
Yeah, it's got everything. I mean, Stefan voice. It's got everything. Like, it's
it
got
everything.
Online sleuths. It's got podcasters. It's got YouTubers. It's got investigations. It's got – it's very, very good. So that's mine. Alyssa, Sani, or Petty?
Okay, so mine's a little bit of both, too.
Okay.
So – and again, it's something you and I were texting about. Aaron, Celine Dion is coming back. She is coming back. It was announced this week that she is doing like 10 dates, 10 concert dates in Paris in September and October.
Are you going?
No. Well, that leads me to the petty. So the thing is, my oldest friend, Kara, she and I have a bucket list. And on our bucket list for many years was Celine Dion. And we saw her a week before COVID shut down the world. Mm-hmm. We were at
Barclays. I remember that. You were sending me pictures from that.
Yes. It was like the very end of February. We wore sequin outfits, or I might have worn fur and she had sequins. Either way, we had a great fucking time. And at that concert, we were like, and we've seen a lot of shows together. We're like, this may be the greatest concert we've ever seen. And groups of women, the vibes, you can't get better vibes. And we've seen Barbara Streisand in Brooklyn too. And it's like, we thought those were pretty excellent vibes. Women with choreographed routines to different songs. So when Celine got stiff person syndrome, we were like very sad. We're like, oh my God, are we never going to be able to see Celine Dion again? But she like gets better and she performs at the Olympics, and then they announced this. And so Kara is touring colleges with her daughter, and I text her. I'm like, fucking Celine's coming back. I'm like, I'm on it. I'm like, I am on it. And so anyway, in order to get the chance to get tickets, there's like a pre-registration, right, for that with that app AXS. Aaron, let's see. Today's April 1st. I have until tomorrow, but I have timed out. I have a whole device that is only dedicated to trying to get into the pre-registration lottery.
Oh my
and
gosh.
And I have timed out. When you and I were texting it, I timed out at 5 hours. After 5 hours, they were like, sorry, girl, try again later. And I like tried again. Anyway, it's been 3 days. It's been about 16 hours of me trying to get into the thing. Because our thing is, it's like, if you're gonna fly to Paris, we really can't pay StubHub prices. You know what I mean?
Right,
we need to get face value tickets. And so this has been my entire personality since it was announced. And we will see. We will see Celine. But like, she is just like, there's no one with better vibes than Celine.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, now that I've been looking for her tickets, my Instagram feed is nothing but Celine Dion.
Great.
And so my Instagram that I'm giving everybody else is nothing but Celine Dion. But so everyone, just like put your little paws together and hope that I get into the – because also getting into the pre-registration line also does not guarantee that you get tickets. Pre-registration, they pick a certain number of people who pre-registered, and then I think I get access. So it's not guaranteed.
Wow.
But I guess the hunt is going to, you know – the hunt is worth it. Who knows?
Yeah. No, I really hope that it works out for you. But I also know you well enough to know that this is not the end of the story if you don't get in the pre-registration line.
No, it's not. You will figure out a way.
You will.
We have to.
You will get jobs working at the stadium as vendors.
Just go one night. I will never forget when we went to go see when the Grateful Dead went on their last tour, which, I mean, I don't know. I can't remember if it actually was their last tour. But we went to go see the first shows in L.A., and we show up. I had us matching Grateful Dead t-shirts. We look like we were kids going to camp for the first time. Like, we do it right. And I get there and we get up to the line and they're like, you can't bring your bag in. It was at, what's the one out in Englewood? Kia Forum?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we go and we're like, what are we going to do? And she went into full mom mode. She's like, just stay right here. And she found someone selling plastic clear backpacks. We shoved everything in it. I put my backpack on. But anyway, I told her, I'm like, if we do this, I'll bring the clear backpack to Paris.
Yeah. I mean, that's commitment to be someone willing to carry a clear backpack as an American in Paris. You are going to get some scowls.
I mean, I'm going to be an American.
It's worth it. It's worth it though to see Celine. Well, I really hope you get the tickets
Me too.
If you don't, now I'm invested. So
thank you.
Now I'm invested. All right. That's all the time we have for this week's episode of Hysteria. Alyssa Mastromonaco, thank you for being my ride or die. You're looking great lately, by the way. I'm so glad that you're like on the mend and feeling better.
Thank you.
Listeners, if you want to get in touch, hysteria@crooked.com is our email address. You can just send us like tips, corrections, thoughts, compliments,
nuggets,
whatever,
anything.
Whatever. We're here. And there will be more Hysteria for you next week. Don't forget to follow us at Crooked Media on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Subscribe to Hysteria on YouTube for access to video versions of your favorite segments and other exclusive content. And if you're as opinionated as we are, consider dropping us a nice review. Hysteria is a Crooked Media production. Caroline Reston is our senior producer. Our executive producer is me, Aaron Ryan. And Alyssa Mastromonaco is our co-producer. Claire Fogarty is our associate producer. The show is engineered and edited by Jordan Cantor. We get audio support from Charlotte Landis. Our video producers are Rachel Gajewski and Claudia Sheng. Matt DeGroat is our head of production. Adrian Hill is our head of news and politics. Kendra James is our executive producer of culture and entertainment. And thank you to Daisy Cruz and David Tolles for production and marketing support every week. Our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.
In moments like these, it's easy to feel overwhelmed and even easier to feel powerless. But we are neither. I'm Stacey Abrams, and on my podcast, Assembly Required, I take on each executive action, legislative battle, and breaking news moment by asking three questions. What's really happening? What can we do about it? And how do we keep going together? This is a space for clarity, strategy, and hope rooted in action. Not denial. New episodes of Assembly Required drop Tuesdays. Tune in wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube.